take your Bibles and go with me to Psalms chapter number 27, please. Psalms chapter number 27. We're going to read all 14 verses tonight, but our main verse tonight will be verse number 4. Psalms chapter number 27. Verse number 1, David is writing here, and he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." And here is our verse tonight. "One thing have I desired." That word desire means to ask. It means to request. It means to beg. David is saying, there's one thing that I ask of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I've just entitled my message tonight, "What Do You Want From God?" Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to be Solomon? Solomon was a man that one night went to sleep, and when he went to sleep, he had a vision, he had a dream that God came to him. And God came to him and he said, "Ask whatever you want." Solomon, what is it that you want most in this life? Solomon said, "You know what? Here is what I want. I want understanding to judge the people. I want to be able to discern between what is good and what is bad." You know what God said? God said, "Because you ask of that thing, I'm going to give you that wisdom. I'm going to answer that prayer. I'm going to give you that desire of your heart. But since you didn't ask for riches, guess what? I'm going to give you riches. Since you didn't ask for honor and glory and a great name, I'm going to give you honor and I'm going to give you a great name." That would have been a wonderful thing to have God come to us and say, "Hey, what do you want?" But do you know what? That's what God does. In Matthew chapter number 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse number 7 through verse number 8, here is what Jesus says: "Ask and ye shall receive. Or it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Hey, that's a great promise, isn't it? God says, "Hey, if you'll just ask, if you'll just request, I will give it unto you." In Matthew chapter 21, in verse number 22, here is what Jesus said: "And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." In John chapter 15 and verse number 7, Jesus said this: "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." What is Jesus saying? Ask. Do you have a need? Do you have a desire in your life? Hey, if you will just come to me and ask and request and believe that I can meet that need, it will be given unto you. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. He said, be careful for nothing, or be anxious, or don't worry about anything is what that phrase means. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request and be made known unto God. My question for you tonight is, when you pray, what do you pray for? When you ask God for something, what is it that you ask? What do you want from God tonight? If we would have a time of prayer this evening, and everybody in their place would begin to pray, and they would pray out loud, and I would go around this auditorium and I would listen into your prayers, I wonder what it would be that you would be praying for. I believe some would be praying for the prosperity and health of a family and friends. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe others might be praying about relationships that they have with other people. There's nothing wrong with that. Those are things that we ought to pray for. Some might be praying for wisdom and guidance in their life. Others might be praying for spiritual leaders and government leaders. Some might be praying for missionaries. Others might be praying that the Lord would bless our church. Some would be praying for safety of their friends and families. And there might be some that would have lost friends and loved ones, and they would be praying for those to be saved. Hey, there is nothing wrong with those kinds of prayers. But have you ever asked God that you could experience and feel the presence of God? Before you came to church tonight, did you take a few moments and just go to the Lord in prayer and say, you know what, God, I'm coming to worship you, and I want you to help me to be in awe. I want you to help me to worship you tonight. I want to be in reverence of your word. I want to be in reverence of all the things that you have done for me. Have you ever asked God to help you to be faithful and true to the house of God? David is one of the greatest men, I believe, in all of the Bible. He was a great king. He was a great leader. He was a great soldier. He was a great friend. He was a great writer. But you know the greatest characteristic that David had? The Bible tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. I've heard all kinds of definitions about this. I've heard all kinds of people try to explain what it is to have a heart after God. But a couple of weeks ago, I was teaching a Sunday school lesson, and I came across this quote, and it's one of the best explanations to a man after God's own heart that I've ever heard. It just spoke to me, and here is what this definition said. A man that has a heart after God, it's not the heart that David had, but it was the heart that he pursued. Did you get that? It wasn't the heart that he had, because Jeremiah tells us that the heart that we have, it's desperately wicked. But a heart after God is a heart that we are pursuing. We are pursuing the heart of God. David spent all of his life pursuing the heart of God. Even though he was a great leader and a great king and a great soldier and a great friend and a great writer, David's greatest desire was not to be those things. David's greatest desire was that he would have God's heart in all matters and all things. We see that when we read the book of Psalms. David would say this in Psalms 42, "As the hart of the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" In Psalm 63, verse number 1 through verse number 2, David says this, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." Psalms 84 and verse number 2, David once again says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." What do you want tonight? Do you want God? Do you want to know Him? Many people want to know about Him, but I don't want to know about God. I want to know God. I want to know Jesus Christ. And David said, "The desire that I have in my heart is that I wouldn't know about God, but my soul hungers and my soul thirsts and my soul longs that I would have that deep, personal, intimate relationship with God." He prays for it in this text. He says, "There's one thing that I desire. There's one thing that I pray for. There's one thing that I ask God for. There's one thing that I beg the Lord for. But he puts action. He says, not only do I pray, but I seek after it. I do something about it. I just don't pray, but when I get up, I put my prayers into actions. Because of that, it affected David's life. You look in the text in verse number 1. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" You know, one of the biggest struggles that you and I have as Christians about sharing the gospel is that we fear man. Well, if I talk to somebody about the Lord, what are they going to think about me? If I try to quote the Bible to them, if I try to tell them I'm a Christian and those things, then what are they going to think about me? And David says, you know what? Because I'm seeking the Lord and because my desire is to know God, he says, you know what? The byproduct of that is that I'm not going to fear man. The last part of verse number 1, he says, I shall not be afraid. The last part of verse number 3. He says, I'm going to have confidence. When I go about doing things, I'm going to have the confidence of God. And you know, when he went against Goliath, he didn't go as a scared little boy against that great giant. He went with confidence and the power of God upon his life. Why? Because he had been seeking to know God. You look in verse number 11. He said, God's going to teach me his ways. Hey, when we seek to know God, guess what? We're going to find out how God wants us to live. And we're going to find out God's ways. In verse number 12, he said, God's going to deliver me from my enemies. And in verse number 13, he says, you know what? I'm not going to get tired. I'm not going to faint. And he says, you know what? I'm going to see and believe in the goodness of the Lord. And verse number 14, he says, you know what? I'm going to have patience and endurance. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And not only that, but he says, I'm going to be of good courage. You know, the Apostle Paul had the exact same characteristics. Why did Paul do so many great things? The secret to Paul's life is found in Philippians 3 and verse number 10, where Paul said this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You see, the Apostle Paul had a desire not to know about God, but Paul cried out to the Lord, God, I want to know you in a deep, in a personal way. In our text tonight, in Psalms chapter 27 and verse number 4, there is one thing that I think David wants, and that is to know God, but it's divided in three things. And I want to give you these three things that I think David prayed for, requested of God, and David wanted more than anything else in his life. Number one, he wanted God to help him experience and feel the presence of God. Don't let that just go through. David wanted to know and experience and feel the presence of God. Notice in the middle part of the verse, he says, that I will seek after, that I may dwell. That word dwell there means to sit down. It means to settle down in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You see, David understood what it was to live in the presence of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 13, when Samuel comes to anoint him as to be the next king, here is what Samuel says. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Just one chapter later in 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 37, when David is getting ready to go fight Goliath and he's trying to convince Saul to let him do that, here is what Saul said. And David said, moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. In 1 Samuel 17, when David is going against Goliath, here is what he says. Then said David to the Philistine, thou camest to me with sword and with spear and with shield, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defeated. When David is going against Goliath, he is saying, you know what? You just see one little 16-year-old boy. You see somebody that is small. You think you can take advantage of me. But I want you to know, I'm not by myself. I come by myself. But the Lord Jesus Christ is with me. God is with me. I am living in the presence of God. When he becomes king, one of the first things that he wants to do is to go get the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant had been with the Philistines, and God had blessed the Philistines because of that. And David wanted the Ark of the Covenant. Why did he want it so bad? Because it was a visible representation of the presence of God. And David said, you know what? I want the Ark of the Covenant here. I want there to be a visible presence of the Lord. And this is one of my favorite passages of Scriptures. But he goes and gets the Ark. And when he gets the Ark, we know he had a little problem there at first because he didn't do it the right way. But when he gets the Ark, and the Bible says that when he comes into Jerusalem, the Bible says that David begins to dance before the Lord. And then the Bible says they're shouting. And the Bible says that they're playing their instruments. And you know what the thing about that is David wasn't putting on an outwardly show. You know what caused David to want to shout? And you know what caused David to want to take his clothes off and just have that linen ephod on? And you want to know what caused David to have the music to be played? And there was to be joy, and there was to be singing, and there were to be great things? Because there was something on the inside that he couldn't keep. And I'm telling you, it was welling up, and it was just growing. And he just got more excited. And as the ark got closer to Jerusalem, he said, you know what, man? I can't keep it anymore. I've got to do something to praise the Lord and to worship him. Because I am in his presence. You ever get excited on the inside and can't keep it down? I mean, there's something, your husband gives you something, or your wife gives you something, or something does to you, you know, and you don't want to cause no commotion, you try to keep it down. But it just can't stay down. It's got to come out of yourself every once in a while. Can I say to you tonight, when you get the hold of God, and I'm telling you, the presence of God comes upon you, and you begin to feel it, and you begin to experience it, and you feel God working in your life and in your heart. It doesn't start here and go in. Hey, it starts on the inside, and you think, oh, baby, oh, you got to keep that down. Oh, Brother David, hey, you man, you can't get excited about this. But hey, I'm telling you what, when God gets in your life and he starts doing something, at some point or other, it's just got to come out. Hallelujah. When we were saying, I should have been crucified, I sang that song in Central Baptist Church when I was about 13 years of age. And I was up there singing, and something happened to me that had never happened to me in my life. I can close my eyes, and it is just like I was there. The Spirit of God come upon me in a way that I had never experienced before. It's a way that I've experienced many times since then. But I'm telling you, that young, just as a young boy, singing about Jesus and singing about the cross and singing about how, hey, I should have been the one that went to the cross. And the Spirit of God come upon me. And I just want you to know, I couldn't keep it on the inside anymore. It had to come out. I worry about it sometimes. When we come into a church day in and day out, and there ain't no excitement that comes out. I've told this story many times, but it left an impression upon me. When I was just a young boy, Miss Mayo sat right over there. And I'll never forget Brother Duncan. I was probably 9 or 10 years old, and she was a godly, dear saint of God. And I'll never forget, I don't know what was going on in her life, but I know when Brother Duncan was preaching, God came upon her. Man, she experienced the presence and felt the presence of God like nothing else. And God did something on the inside, and she couldn't keep it on the inside. And she stood up and she shouted in the church. And everybody looked over there and they thought the church was going to split because we had a shouting grandma in the church. I worry about when I come to God's house that I don't cry. Well, you're a man. You shouldn't cry. I tell you what, when you feel the presence of God and God comes upon you, there's going to be times when it's going to start on the inside and you can't keep the tears. I think about that song, He knew me. Think about that. He knew you. Yet He loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy. And here it is. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Boy, every time I sing that, I see Brother McBride sitting right over here and Maureen Hickman sitting right behind him. About halfway through that song, old Brother McBride, you know, you've heard me talk about him. He is one of my heroes, but I'm telling you, he's rough. Rough. Before he got saved. But I'm telling you what, when he got saved, God changed him. I'd sing that song and that old hand would go up. Them old tears would start coming down his cheek. And one of the times that I sung it, I was singing, boy, I was getting into it, and the Spirit of God was moving, and Brother McBride gets up while I'm singing, and he comes down. I thought I didn't know what he was going to do, and he just fell on the altar and cried. And I'm telling you, he was rough and he was tough. But he just knew what he was before he got saved. He just knew what God did for him. And there was times, it wasn't all the time, and it wasn't every service, and it wasn't maybe 3 or 4 times a year, but there was times, I'm just telling you, something would start down here, and it couldn't stay down here, and it would work out. You know what? That's what David is saying. David is saying, you know what? God, I want to be in Your presence. I want to feel Your presence. You say, Brother David, God doesn't leave us. You're right. God doesn't leave us. The Bible says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. But you know what? There's times that fellowship can be broken. In 1 John chapter number 1, the Bible says that if we have unconfessed sin in our life, and that if we walk in darkness, that we break that fellowship. He's still here, but we don't feel that presence. We come into church and we sit in church and we leave exactly the same way. Nothing happens. Nothing moves us. Nothing changes in our lives. We open the Word of God and it's like reading another novel in a story. We don't feel His presence. It's dry. We get on our knees and we begin to pray, and it doesn't seem like our prayers go above our ceilings. And so it's not long before we just quit praying. You know what we need? We need the presence and the power of God in our lives. That's what we need more than anything. We need tonight, sitting in this auditorium, to feel and experience the presence of God. When was the last time you've asked God for that? When was the last time you said, God, I need You. I need to feel Your presence in my life. Lucille and I used to talk about this a lot, because I'm telling you, it's the thing that radically changes lives and changes churches. There was a second thing that David prayed, is that he prayed that he would be able to worship the Lord in the way that he should. Notice that second phrase. He said, not only to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, but I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Someone has rewritten that phrase to say this, to gaze upon the beauty, the delightful loveliness and majestic grandeur of the Lord. We sung that song a while ago, the wonder of it all. Do you ever just look at God's creation and are in awe and wonder? Last Wednesday night when I came to church, there was a rainbow back there in the northeast. It wasn't long till that rainbow dissipated, and then there was a rainbow back in the southeast. You know what? When you see those rainbows, that's God speaking to you. That's God saying, you know what? I made a covenant. I made a promise. I'm not going to destroy this earth by the flood. Are you in awe and wonder of God? We sang that song that I love to sing, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." Does Jesus thrill you? I mean, does he light your fire? Do you come into God's house and hear the preaching of the word and sing those songs and it just kind of gives you goosebumps sometimes? The songwriter said, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." And you know what David was praying? "God, let me see your beauty. Let me see your majestic grandeur. Let me see your kindness. Let me see your love. God, let me be in all of all the things that you've done for me." In Psalms chapter number 19, David said this: "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord." When I was meditating upon that scripture this week, I began to think about David as a young lad out there, maybe in the middle of the night, tending those sheep. Those sheep were over there asleep, and he was watching over that hillside, making sure there was no predator animals that was going to come and take the sheep. And I can just imagine David laying on his back and looking up into the clear sky and seeing all of those stars and the moon, and being in awe of God's creation. And he began to worship the Lord. The heavens, they declare the glory of the Lord. Worship is a very important thing. And it starts with submission to him. Rod Matten is a guy, matter of fact, really kind of got introduced to him through Frank Johnson. But in one of his commentaries, he wrote this about worship. He said, "If our worship does not change us, it hasn't been worship at all. If our worship does not lead us to obedience, we have not worshiped. Active worship leads to active involvement." He would put this notation on there, and just as a sense of being careful, and he would say this: "Emotion without devotion leads to commotion." That's really good. Because if we're not careful, we can work up the emotion. Worship is not about emotion. But there's going to come emotion when you worship. But if all it is just emotion, then it's going to lead to commotion. Do you ever pray before you come to God's house, "God, help me to worship you. God, help me to see you as who you really are, Almighty God"? Before you read your Bible in the morning, would you take just a minute or two and say, "God, as I read your word, would you help me to worship you and see you in awe and see you in reverence?" David asked God for the third thing, and that is that he would be faithful and stay focused upon God's house. Notice the last part of that verse. He says, "And to inquire in his temple." Psalms 122 and verse number 1, David said this: "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." When he would finish writing Psalms 23, he would say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But I like Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, David is looking at many people that don't live for God and doesn't care about the Lord's house or doesn't care about the Bible, doesn't care about anything spiritual. But they are successful. Man, their life is going good. They don't have any heartaches. They don't have any difficulties. They don't have any trouble. I mean, David is looking at these people that would maybe curse God, and their life is going wonderful. And David is saying, "You know what, man, God, I've lived for you. I have served you. I've sacrificed for you. And man, I've got people against me. I've got people that are trying to kill me. My family's all messed up. I've got all kinds of difficulties. Hey, God, can you explain that to me?" And then David says this: "Then I went into the house of the Lord, and I understood therein." You know what? When you come into God's house and get into His Word, it helps put life in perspective, doesn't it? And David is saying this, God, help me. Help me to dwell in Your house and help me to go into Your house to inquire and to meditate upon Your Word and upon Your law. Can I tell you tonight, churches are not like this. Just always good, just everything excited, just everything hopping and going. Churches have life. They have peaks and they have valleys. Man, there are times when, man, it's exciting and things are really happening. And I'm telling you, we are living in that series in our church right now. Our attendance for the last 3 or 4 weeks has been as high as it was before COVID. Wednesday nights, we're back having a ton of kids that are over here. Our nursery is jam-packed full. Our attendance, and I can't wait till we get about November and Thanksgiving, because during the next 3 months, our church always grows and it always gets bigger. And man, we've had a great summer. I think we've had one of the best attended summers that we've had in years, because, you know, every summer it's kind of like this. You have some good services, but you have a lot of down services. Hey, you know what? We really haven't had a down service. We had good attended services. We had people that are baptized, and then new people that are coming and visitors that are coming. I'm telling you, we're going up. But you know what? It won't always be an upward trajectory. Sometimes we'll level off, and sometimes maybe we will go down. But it's during those down times and during those level off times, you know what? We need to ask God, please help me to be faithful. God, help me to stay true to Your house. God, help me to stay true to Your Word. There's times when I'd like to stay home, amen? You ever stay home from church? Brother Chris, he's a little more spiritual than I am. Can I tell you, during COVID, when we was watching, when we didn't have no Sunday night services and we staying home on Sunday night, I thought, praise Jesus, hallelujah. That's carnal, isn't it? I'm just being honest. I had to ask God, help me to be faithful. But you know what? We need that sometimes. Because you know this, you're not always going to be anxious about going to church. Sometimes you've got to ask God, God, would You help me to be faithful? Would You help me not to be discouraged? God, would You help me when I get into God's house to feel Your presence and to worship You and be in awe of all that You have for me? You see, if you will do those things, if you will genuinely want those things, then guess what? God will do for you what He did for Solomon. You didn't ask me for riches, Solomon. I asked you what you wanted, and you could have asked me for riches, but because you didn't ask me for that, guess what? That's what I'm going to give you. Solomon, you didn't ask me for honor and to give you popularity and to give you a great name. Solomon, you could have asked me for that, but you didn't ask me for that. But because you asked me for wisdom and in that relationship, I'm going to give you honor. You didn't ask me for glory. But Solomon, I'm going to give that to you. You know what I've learned in my life? Is that when I'm truly seeking God, a lot of the other things in life that I think I wanted, either He provides or I don't want it anymore. Because one of the things that you're going to find is you get closer to God, all of those things around you don't matter. All you want is to know God more. On Wednesday night, we sing a song called In the Secret. It's an older praise song. And here are the lyrics to that song. It says, in the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness You are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for You. Why? Because I want to know You more. The second verse goes this way. I'm reaching for the highest goal that I might receive the price. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside out of my way, because I want to know You more. The chorus goes this way. I want to know You. I want to hear Your voice. I want to know You more. I want to touch You. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. What do you want in life? What do you want from God? Do you want a possession? Do you want a healing? Do you want an easy way? Or do you want to know Him more? Lord, we love you tonight. And God, I pray that I would have the heart of David, that I would hunger and that I would thirst to know you better. And God, as I look out across this congregation, this is the heartbeat of our church. These are our Sunday school teachers, our bus workers, those that clean the church, those that work at Vacation Bible School, those that sing in the choir, those that tithe, those that give. God, I understand that I'm looking at the best of the best. But God, I also know that we get busy with life. And sometimes we quit seeking you in a greater way. God, my desire tonight is that each of us, whether they would come to this altar or whether they would leave this place before they pillow their head tonight, I pray that they would get alone with you and say, oh God, I want to know you more. I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse.